Definitely. Yeah, it's more. Yeah, that I guess that's kind of where I'm going is that in actuality, I mean, for a guy to flirt with a woman, it's kind of a safe thing, you know, because it's if you're doing it right, the way we're talking about it, it's not a threatening thing. It's almost very complimentary, you know, and it gets you in the door, I would say, and also that it can help build your social proof, which we can go on with that, you know, days and days, because that's kind of where I'm at with most things and what I talk about, but. You know, that's for as far as approach anxiety and things like that. I mean, if you're going over there with a specific purpose in mind, that's why you've got the anxiety.
Yeah, there's something about not having an attachment to a specific outcome, and just being willing to play and have fun with it. That just gives you an enormous amount of power. And the converse is also true. The moment you get attached, or you're trying to get somewhere, or like you're really, you know, especially if you're trying to like sneak in or something like that, it comes across as creepy, and people take it personal. It just doesn't work.
Right. So let's expand upon a little bit, you know, about the playing and being playful and teasing and things like that, because I think that's one of the more powerful skill sets that guys can learn that'll take them a long ways. So let's talk about that a little bit. How would you describe or teach guys to be able to get better in that type of skill?
There's a couple different ways that guys can do that. One of the tools that I learned from David D'Angelo in his Double Your Dating book, he calls cocky and funny. And you know, guys can take a look at his material if they'd like to get his explanation for it. I mean, basically, what it comes down to for me is making an edgy kind of teasing comment in a way that has humor in it and it's funny. So it's not like you're being a jerk. It's kind of like you're being a faux jerk, if that makes sense. Like you're pretending to be kind of a dickhead, you know, but it's a pretense. Like, and everybody knows it. It's all in jest and fun. I guess I like to use the term banter for this, and the definition that I have from that for that is teasing somebody where they're strong.
Right.
And there's a lot of different ways that it can be done, but probably my favorite is what we call obvious opposites. So let me give you some examples of that, right? That's like walking up to the most loud bombshell party girl at the club and saying with like kind of a sarcastic smirk on your face, just being like, you hang out a lot at the library, don't you? You know, it's obviously not true. You're teasing her where she's strong. Another version of this, you know, from the other gender's perspective, would be like a girl saying to a guy who's skinny and wearing glasses and obviously, you know, sits behind a computer 8 hours a day, you know, saying to him, you know, you're really sweet, but I just don't date jocks.
Right.
You know, he's not a jock, obviously, but she's teasing him where he's strong.
Right.
This is different from the way that guys mess with each other. A lot of times guys will tease each other where they're weak to kind of test their self-esteem within
right.
their social circles, and that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about teasing someone where they're obviously strong and poking them there. And it's like two lion cubs play fighting. You can think of it like that.
Right. Oh, interesting. So basically you're kind of going the opposite of, you know, trying to, I don't know, I guess I've always had a problem with people talking about dropping a woman's value. And I'm
oh, negs. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, not a fan either. I'm more of a try to pull somebody up to my level, I guess you could say, or at least the attempt at, you know, and have a good time and make everybody, you know, obviously if you're teasing in that regard, you know, she knows it's obvious. I call them obvious lies. I like using obvious lies. Like, you know, if somebody asks you what you do, then you just give somebody an obvious lie just to be funny.
Yeah, like, you know, hey, what do you do for work? And you're like, I'm an underwater ninja, you know, something like that. Absolutely. And that's again, that's banter, okay? That's in the same realm. There's different forms of that. I love this stuff. So I guess I'll give you guys some more examples of this. And, you know, this is not all my original material at all. This is stuff I've learned from a lot of different other people, as well as a few things I've come up with myself. So here is a free exercise we do on responding to when girls are giving you a hard time. You know, like, you can consider that a form of banter and play. So, like, a lot of times, like, if I approach a woman and I'm like, hey, you know, how you doing tonight? And she just looks at me and is like, I have a boyfriend. You know, like, she's going to immediately be bitchy to me. You know, what just happened in that interaction, if I'm like, hey, how you doing? And she's like, I have a boyfriend. What she's saying is she's saying that I was hitting on her and that I should stop because she's taken. Like, she's making the interaction mean that. This gets into frame control and subcommunication a little, but I think it's worth discussing because it really – I'm going to illustrate how to deal with it using some, you know, kind of bantery, witty comebacks, right? So, you know, she, if your response to her is like, oh, I'm sorry, and then you walk away, what you've just done is you've bought into her reality. You agreed that you were hitting on her. And furthermore, you agreed – to her request that you stop doing so, and you walked away. That's not particularly fun or witty, and it's not teasing her where she's strong, and it doesn't work very well. By contrast, you could come up with a number of other responses. Like, if I walk up to a woman and she's like, you know, I say, hey, how you doing? And she says, I have a boyfriend. Like, that's her response. My response could be, you know, we just met, and you're already telling me about your problems. This is not going to work out. You know, like, you know, I'm reframing the situation now. I'm saying, oh, you thought I was hitting you on you, and I may or may not have been, but either way, you're a drama queen, you know.
Right.
And it's not like really. I'm being playful about it. I have a big smile on my face when I say that. Or I walk up and I'm like, you know, hey, how you doing? She's like, I have a boyfriend, and then my response could be like, cool, I have shoes. So, you know, you see that guy over there? He's been looking at you for the last 5 minutes. You know, it's like she's saying, girl, you were hitting on me. Please stop doing that. And I say, your boyfriend is as significant to the conversation I want to have with you as my shoes are. You know, like,
right.
Like, I'm just taking away the interaction there.
What I'm noticing, what you're not doing is you're not verifying that. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, well, that's not why I really came over here. I just thought that, you know, you're not explaining yourself. You're just...
Oh, hell no. Yeah, I'm definitely not explaining myself. I'm also not trying to meet her head on. I'm not like, if she's like, I have a boyfriend, I'm not going to be like, well, he's not here right now. You know, like that's...
Right.
You know, I'm not going to do that. Now, there's a world-famous pickup artist that I've heard give a response to this, which is kind of funny. It's one of the things he does that I actually do like. And that's like, you know, she says, I have a boyfriend, and your response is, I understand. We'll be discreet, you know. And that's kind of like she's saying, you're hitting on me, go away. And you're saying, oh, I'm hitting on you all right. And I know you really mean you just don't want to get caught, you know. Like, you know, but like, again, it's flirtation. You're teasing her where she's strong. You know, it's not explaining yourself. It's not whining about it. It's not trying to beat her down from her position. And it's also not just agreeing and accepting it either. It's having the conversation happen on your terms. So let me get into some more, like, just sort of flirtatious concepts. You know, one thing you can do, and this is a tool I got from David D., it's fantastic, is misinterpret whatever she's saying as her hitting on you. Deliberately misinterpret it as that. So, you know, if you walk up and say, with our last example, hey, you know, how you doing tonight? And she's like, I have a boyfriend. Your response could be like, wow, that's so sweet. We just met, and you already think I'm boyfriend material. But you know what? You're going to have to get to know me first. You know, I mean, like, you know, you misinterpret as her hitting on you. Something else, you know, if you're talking to a girl and she's like, wow, it's late, I got to go home. Your response could be, you know, whoa, I will not go home with you yet. You have to romance me a little first. I'm not just some piece of, like, meat here for your amusement, you know. Like, she didn't say, I want to take you home. You're deliberately misinterpreting it as that. And you're teasing her where she's strong because she knows that she didn't say that. You're just injecting it in the conversation.
Yeah, it reminds me that this is what we're talking about, something that I know this is where I'm strong, is that I basically, what I do is, whatever I want to do, let's say, you know, in the past or whatever, obviously I'm dating right now, in a pretty serious relationship, but, you know, and even now, even when we flirt back and forth, it's funny because whatever I want to do, I make it sound like it's her idea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
If we're out to eat or something like that, and, you know, she goes, you know, hey, you want another beer? And I'm like, good God, you're already trying to take advantage of me? It's only 7 o'clock. You know, stuff like that. So.
Yeah, that's exactly in the realm of what I'm talking about. It's like she says that, and you misinterpret it as her hitting it on you or trying to, like, butter you up so she can take you home. I mean, there's all kinds. Gosh, you know, I promised my friends I wouldn't go home with anyone tonight. You have to promise to behave. You know,
right.
You can say all kinds of stuff, you know. And there's a lot of canned lines out there that guys can find that they can use, or you can take some of the examples we've just given on this interview as training wheels to start with. But I really highly recommend that instead of holding, like, these lines or these words somehow have magical power, you get the principle behind it. Because once you have the principle behind it, you can ad lib your own natural self-expressed version of this. It's the principle that matters, not the actual technique, or not the actual, you know, material. So, you know, with the misinterpreting of someone hitting on you, a really simple way to get it is just, what is it about blankety blank that turns you on so much? Like, whatever she says, whatever complaint she makes, you just say, what is it about? And then you insert what she said, and then you say that turns you on so much. For example, I say hi to a girl, and she's like, you look gay. My response could be like, what is it about gay guys that turns you on so much? Or I, you know, start talking to her, and she says, you know, your shirt's ugly. I can say, what is it about my shirt that turns you on so much? You know, that's not like the panacea, but it's just one script you can use to start to get the principle here, which is everything that she says you can misinterpret as her hitting on you. Well, not everything, but like periodically throughout the conversation. Use it like a spice. And that will inject sexual tension and chemistry automatically. You know, the obvious opposite thing. If you can really get that down, you can do a lot with that. That's like and it doesn't even have to be in a sexual context. Like I'm not a very big guy. I'm 5'9" and a half, and that half inch is important. I work out, but I'm not ripped. You know, like I'm not in like amazing shape. I just have some bulk on me, a little bit. And there's guys that I see frequently that are just, you know, massive, just huge, just, you know, beefcakes. And I love, like, rolling up on a guy like that, you know, in the bar or whatever, and be like, yeah, man, that creatine stuff is just killing me, you know? And just, like, playing along, like I'm somehow on his level when it's obviously not true, and just kind of making him chuckle, you know?
Right.
I'll be like, ah, no, man, I had to say what's up. You look like you've been working out for a while, you know, you're in great shape, you know? And I'm basically just vibing with him at that point. You know, he may have some friends that I want to meet, whatever. I'm social with everybody when I go out, so it's not just about the women I'm interested in. But the concept of banter and flirtation is not gender-dependent, and it's not necessarily sexual. It's about being fun and giving the people around you a good vibe and energy. And it's basically an access to communicating and thinking at the emotional level. Remember that for everyone listening, think back to earlier in our conversation when we were talking about the physical level and the emotional level and then the logical level. When you're touching somebody with your body is communicating with their body at the physical level. When you're talking to someone about an abstract concept like the science of women and dating, like Brad and I have been talking about, that's a logical conversation at a logical level. When you flirt with someone, when you give them that kind of communication where it's banter and you're teasing them and stuff like that, that's a communication at an emotional level. And that's why it's such an effective way to connect with women and get them attracted to you, because you're talking to them right where they're strongest, their emotional intelligence. So, you know, that's why it's so important.
Yeah, like I say, that's, I would say banter and teasing. Good gracious. I mean, because it does go into social proof when you're in a social environment, but that, I think that's probably the most important thing. because nobody's guards up. I mean, if let's say, I don't know, let's just use a bar, for example, because you read so much about it, but let's just say in general, or a party. Let's say you're there and you're hanging out, you're talking, and you're just talking to everybody. You're Bill Clinton in the room, basically, is what you're doing. That's what I mean.
Yeah, the mayor of the city. That's my approach. When I walk around, I will be the icebreaker. It's actually one of the other exercises we teach. I'll give it away in a second.
Right. But I mean, and maybe this is some, what you're going to get into, but as far as being the person, what I've seen in just society in general, who is the most successful women in general is the person that has the ability to bring people together and to introduce people. So if you can, like, let's say if you're in the room, and you're talking to one group or whatever, and you're a mixed couple, you know, whatever, and then they say something, you're like, oh, man, you know what, you should go meet such and such, and you go introduce them to somebody else, and then you walk away. Well, guess what? Other than what they've got in common right there, they've only got one other thing in common, and that's you.
That's you, yeah.
So now they're
brilliant.
Like, how do you know that guy? I don't know. I just met him tonight. How'd you meet him? I just met him tonight, you know? And now everybody's like, well, damn. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is great. Let me give away the exercise the way that we explain it in class, and it's basically what you just described is one of the major facets of it. It is an exercise that we typically run in our weekend boot camps, and you guys listening, you can do this on your own, but I think you'll find at least the first time or a couple times you try this, it'll be easiest to do if you've at least got a buddy out there with you who's playing the game too, so you guys can kind of be moral support for each other. And it's called being the icebreaker. So your objective when you play this game is not to hit on any one girl. It's a training exercise. Your objective is to network the room as fast as possible. But you can't do it in like a way where there's no real connection. You have to actually make connections with the people. So here's how that could look. You walk into the social venue, bar, club, party, whatever, and you're going to meet whoever is nearest to you to meet. It doesn't matter if it's girls, guys, a mixed group, whatever. Again, remember, your mission here is not to find a girl to hook up with that particular time. It's the training exercise. So you're going to find whoever's closest to you and you'll be like, hey, we haven't met yet. I'm Jay, or whatever your name is, right? And that's literally the opener that I will use when I'm running this game. Also, for anyone who's into the whole finding the optimal openers thing, that opener, hey, we haven't met yet, I'm Jay, is the single most powerful opener I have in my arsenal. I have tried everything from indirect to playful direct to authentic direct, and in a bar or social type venue, I have not found anything that's more effective than that. Simple and easy and natural. But in any event, so back to the game. So, hey, what's up? We haven't met yet. I'm so-and-so. And if they're a little resistant, if you have a drink in your hand, you can clink glasses with them. Be like, cheers. Clink, clink, clink. So, you know, who do you guys know here? Have you all met my friends? And you can point to your buddy if you've just started. Or here's where the game gets fun. You point to a group of people you just met like 30 seconds ago. And they might be like, no. Be like, you know what? You guys seem cool. I'm going to introduce you. Hang on one second. And then you drag them over to your quote-unquote friends, or you grab the nearby group of friends, whether it's your buddy that you came with or your circle you came with or some people you just met, and you merge the two groups. You introduce them to each other. They're like, hey, guys, you got to meet my friends, so-and-so and so-and-so, and you introduce them all around. You're now the hub of that group. You're the thing they have in common, just like Brad was saying. And furthermore, if it's like a group of guys getting introduced to a group of cute girls, those guys now see you as someone of value in the venue and someone that they want to be friends with. They're like your allies. They're your buddies now. And you can actually get them to help you out. And the girls may see it that way too if they really like the guys, you know. And if it's mixed groups, it just helps them out. So you go around the room networking like this. If you get good at this, inside half an hour, you can quickly become the most popular person in the entire venue because you have literally introduced everybody to everybody else, and they all know each other through you. And so at a minimum, they see you as a high-value guy. And at best, they like you. You know, there's going to be some percentage of the women that are attracted to you. And once you've done this for like half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it takes, then you go back to the girls you're interested in, and you go chat up and be like, hey, so we haven't had a chance to chat in like, you know, I don't know, 18 minutes. What's going on over here? You seem cute. I want to talk to you, you know? And you can kind of go direct now. a little more easily than, you know, you might have been able to previously because you've got all this value in the room. You've done, you know, everybody already knows you and is wondering, you know, how you can be that confident, how you can be that badass. And you are their source of comfort. You're the one who helped them be comfortable in the room and meet other people. You got to get other people as awkward and uncomfortable as you are, if not more. So you just, you solved that problem for them. So they're happy about that. They like you as a result of that. Even if they don't want you for themselves, they'll introduce you to their friends.
Right. See, that's good stuff. I mean, I put up a post not too long ago. I called it the source of fun method. I was just joking around. And it basically, it's the same thing. I mean, if you're basically the source of everybody's fun, then they recognize that. Even, let's say if you're, and I did this, I was in Greensboro not too long ago with my friend Brian, and, you know, he was happened to be in town, and I drove up to meet him. And obviously this revolves around buying shots, but it's very similar, where, you know, I walked up to the bar. It was like 1:30. You know, we'd been looking everywhere to go, and we end up in this dive bar, and it was okay. You know, we walk in, and I look beside me, and there's a mixed group, guys and girls. It's probably about six. And I just looked at them. I said, you know what, man? I want to do a shot. Who wants to do a shot? And they were like, yeah, we'll do a shot. What do you want to do? And anytime somebody asks me if I want to do a shot, it's always tequila because everybody knows tequila's only good for two things. They both start with F. And so basically, you know, you do a shot. And then you're like, yeah, that rocks. And you're doing it. And then you get another group. And like I say, I mean, this takes some money. It doesn't – What I'm talking about is just like what you're talking about. This is just one way of doing what you just said. I mean, there's lots of ways to skin a cat. This is just my way of what I did because I only had 30 minutes. So we basically went in and we did the shots, you know, and then they were like, well, what do you want? And I was like, well, all right, well, I'll take this. And they bought me a shot. And then one of the guys is like, dude, man, you're cool as shit. Let me introduce you to my girlfriend. You know what I mean? And so I meet the girlfriend. And he's dragging his girlfriend over to meet me, which is weird. You know, you wouldn't think that's the case, but now I'm a high-value individual because I just gave without any consideration of what I was going to get. And so now we've got, before it's over, we've got like 20 people over there, you know, causing a ruckus. Everybody in the bar is looking over there, seeing what the hell is going on. I look at the other side of the bar. There's this, and like I said, I'm in a serious relationship, so, I mean, this is just funny, just fun for me. I see a girl who looks like she's bored shitless sitting at the bar. I point at her, and she's like, what, me? I was like, yeah, bring your ass over here, you know. In quiet semantic style, I guess you could say, she comes over, what do you want? And so everybody's building in the energy, and again, like you're saying, everybody knows who you are in that short amount of time. So very, very cool thing to do. And you know what? If it had been a different story or a different situation for myself, do I think that I probably could have met somebody and maybe taken them home? Maybe. You know, I wasn't going for that, but still, it's a very quick way to build social proof in a place. So, and it's just like you're talking about, So I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is it takes a lot of the pressure off you. If you're still working on your inner game and your approach anxiety, this is one access to having your approach anxiety disappear because you're not approaching the girls to hit on them, and you're not pretending like you're approaching them not to hit on them. Like you're not doing the indirect opener, I'm going to pretend I don't really like you. Like it's not like that. You're authentically networking the room.
Right.
So like, you know, it's honest. And your attention's not on you, it's on them. It's like, hey, I'm going to make sure you guys are having a good time. You know, like I do a little more dominant version of this game now. I call it the mayor of the city. It's kind of a step up from being the icebreaker.
Sure.
And that's where like I'm being like I'm the owner of the club. Now I'm not pretending like I'm the owner of the club. I'm actually being that guy, and I'm being that way because it's like I'm the owner of whatever social space I'm in. At a minimum, I'm one of the owners. So when I walk in, I'll like talk to people like, hey, how you guys doing tonight? And I'm not asking that like, hey, how are you doing tonight? Like I'm looking for approval. I'm like, how are you guys doing tonight? Like, hey, I'm checking to see if you're okay. Because I'm the guy who has the authority to do that. And then, you know, they'll be like, oh, we're fine or whatever. I'll be like, fantastic. If you need anything, let me know. I'm Jay, by the way, blah, blah, blah. And I'll talk to them like that. I'll be like, and then, you know, I might spider off in the other conversation. I might say, hey, have you met my friends over here? You need to meet them. So on and so forth. And so, but it's more dominant, it's more commanding. You know, that's just, I enjoy that, and that's kind of the level that I'm at now with that game. But, you know, for starters, I recommend doing it just at the very basic level, just go in and just be all about having a great time and make sure the people around you are having a great time. It's like you're on fun patrol, and everyone within 10 feet of you, you want to make sure they're having fun. And you just roll it like that. I think it's fantastic.
You know, the hidden thing that we haven't even talked about and why this is so baller as well is that we're not only calling, I guess we groundwork. Like you're basically laying the groundwork real quick to come back. But what you're doing is that now these people and these women are going, man, he's talking to everybody. How come he's not flirting with me?
Oh, yeah. Oh. How can I get his attention? Oh, yes.
Right, exactly.
Girls love that. Oh, they want the challenge. Absolutely. Yeah, and the cool thing is you're not really exploiting that. Instead, you're just kind of going with it naturally. Like, you are actually having a fun time for real. And then, you know, inevitably, some number of women are going to be trying to get your attention.
Right.
And when you're damn good and ready, you'll give it to them.
Yeah, and that's the best part about it, because you can naturally transition into this banter and teasing that we've been talking about before, in the making it their idea thing, because it is their idea. They know it's their idea. You know, they start talking to you or whatever. Now, I mean, even if you go back over and say, hey, we haven't had a chance to talk, blah, 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 you know, tell me more about whatever you found out about them from the beginning, you know, which is, I think, is always key, to have a kind of a hook point that you can, or a piece of information about a person that you can always ask about them that's very key. And so you come back over and say, hey, you know what, we haven't been able to talk. Tell me more about such and such or whatever. And then as you talk a little bit, you can insert those things, you know, those miscommunications, as you will.
Yeah,
you're trying to jump me. I know it. Let's not fool anybody, those type of things. So it that becomes even more powerful because, you know more people. And you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that also if there's a woman there that you haven't met previously, like you've been networking in the room, but you haven't met her, but you like her, once you've networked the room enough to where you're like, you know, pretty much she's seen you talking to all these other people, your approach to her, you can walk over and be like, hey, who the hell are you and how come it's taking you this long to flirt with me?
Exactly.
You know, you can go a little more direct, you know what I mean? Or it could be something like, you know, hey, you know, I saw you staring at me for like the last 30 minutes while I was talking to all my friends around here, and I'm wondering why you're so shy and why you didn't just walk up and start flirting because, you know, I think you're cute. Yeah, like you can be like really direct and forward like that, and she's gonna laugh and all that stuff because you're kind of calling her out in a little bit of a cocky way, you know.
Right.
You'll be like, I know you want to flirt with me, but you know, of course she does. You know,
yeah.
She's wondering why you haven't yet. You know, but you're making it like it's her bad. So
it's so funny. David Wygant's really good at that type of thing. He's really, like, whenever we're in LA, I usually hang out with him and watching him. It's very and most guys that are really good, I mean, like I say, are good at this part of it. You know, it's not they're necessarily walking up to somebody in particular, but, you know, one thing he told me was that don't think that she doesn't notice what you're doing, no matter who you are. So if you're sitting on the wall and, you know, you got your hands in your pockets and you're just kind of waiting for a moment, well, she knows that. She's already seen it. So, you know, it's much better to go ahead and get in the flow and talk to people because she's seeing that too. One way or another, she's seeing what you're doing, you know, no matter who you are. So you might as well, you know, put yourself in a positive light. So
yeah, for
thing,
sure.
One of the other things he talks about, which is really funny, man, and I like, it just reminded me of it, but he was like, if you ever have to approach anxiety and, you know, even if you work in a room, you walk up to somebody, walk up to her and talk to her in the mindset that you know for a fact that she just got done masturbating to your picture.
Yeah, that's.
Because what kind of smirk would you have on your face if you knew that?
Yeah.
I laugh at so. That's pretty funny. But, yeah, that's just mindset stuff. But, God, man, it was shit.
Here's an exercise for guys who want to learn how to be a little more direct, but they're not ready to do it yet. You can go direct on behalf of your friend. And this is, again, this one requires a buddy, whether it's someone you bring to the bar or someone you meet there. You can walk over to a girl and be like, excuse me, you know, I know it's kind of awkward, but my friend over there thinks you're really, really cute. And he'd love to meet you, and I wanted to see if if you were single and if I could introduce you to him. You know, like, it's like you're hitting on her really directly when you do that. I mean, really, really directly, but on behalf of someone else. So it's not as scary for you if you're still kind of getting over that level of your inner game. And, you know, you can just do it as an exercise a few times. You know, preferably you do it where your buddy actually does think the girl's cute so that if she's interested in meeting him, you know, she doesn't feel cheated. So be honest about it. But, you know, you should probably ideally find a venue where there's girls that your buddy likes if you're going to do this. But that's one kind of baby step you can do. And then, you know, later you switch it to where you just go direct for yourself. You know, once you're ready to do that, you know, walk over and be like, hey, I know this is kind of awkward in front of all these people here. You might have even been hit on by like 20 drunk guys in a row over the last half hour, but I think you're adorable and I just have to meet you.
Right.
You know, just call it all out and state what's so and go direct and see what happens. Try it 10 times and see the kind of results you get.
Yeah. You know, well, you know what's funny is that I could think of how you could use that even to another level too. Like if you went up, because I had this happen when I was younger. And it's kind of, God, you keep telling me or talking about stuff, and it keeps reminding me of stories. I feel like I've got more stories than, damn, Stephen King. But, you know, I was, we were playing baseball as a kid. I was like 16 or 17. This one guy looks at me, and he goes, hey, man, go get that girl's phone number for me. You know, that's, he just says, hey, man, go get her phone number for me. And I was like, okay, it ain't me. I'm just going to walk over there and say, hey, man, my friend wants your phone number. And so I go over there. And, you know, it was really funny because I live in the South and, you know, this is a black guy asking me to go get a white girl's phone number.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and not bad. I was actually in Tennessee at the time. And so I walk over and, you know, I introduce myself. I say, hey, you see my friend over there? He thinks you're cute. He wants your phone number. And I'd be damned if she didn't give me her phone number. I mean, with nothing. I mean, with no prodding or anything. But she looks me straight in the face. She goes, I'm giving this to you, but I want you around when he calls. Which, I mean, I don't care how thick you are. You get the semantics behind that. Yeah, she's really giving me the phone number. You know what I mean? She's not giving it to my buddy. So even,
yeah.
Even if you walked over and said, hey, you know, my buddy is interested or whatever, and if she looks over and she goes, I don't know. I mean, it gives her a reason to say, well, what about you? Or even you could say, well, what about me?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's funny. I don't think I've actually tried that one. I might try that just to see what happens. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you've got the mindset and you're in there working a room or whatever, that whatever happens. My thing is that if somebody's not going to understand my sense of humor, then it's probably not going to go anywhere anyway. And so I tend to pre-qualify a lot of women out quickly rather than let them pre-qualify me out, I guess you could say, because I think that's a difference that a lot of guys don't really think about, is that you're putting her on a pedestal and you don't even know anything about her other than she looks kind of hot. I mean, she could.
Yeah, right, which is totally a disservice to you and her.
Right.
That you want to assume like you are as high status or high values as possible to be, and then maybe you've noticed her, and now you're going to go over and investigate and see if she measures up. Exactly.
Well, here's something even funnier mindset-wise that I talked about before, and this is why I like house parties, but even bars work. But if you go to a house party and you see a bunch of hot girls there, well, guess what? You're at this same party. That inherently means your status is the same as theirs. You know some of the same people. You're just they are. They must have, you know, that type of thing. So,
hey Brad, do you want to say that part one more time? Because your cell phone kind of faded out, and we should probably just edit that.
So basically, talking about house parties, if you're in a house party, and you want to go talk to them, well,
it just happened again. I don't know what's going on with your reception, but your phone keeps fading out.
Might be dying out. What about now?
Now it's fine. Yeah.
Okay, now it's in a different way. I get ratty signal, but anyway. Okay. No. Going back to the house parties and social venues. If somebody's in a social venue or a house party, and I like house parties especially, Because if you find a bunch of hot people there, then, you know, their value is just as good as yours because you're at the same party. You know the same people. Obviously, somebody thought you were cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So don't give that away. So either they're you're just as cool as them, or they suck just as bad as you do, depending on which way you want to look at it. So I guess I kind of realize that. Another thing you could do, obviously, is throw your own parties, and then then you can play King of the Castle, and that's always fun.
Yeah, you can throw your own parties. Also, I mean, that can get draining. One of the things you can do is develop a circle of friends where you guys round robin who's throwing a party. If throwing parties is going to be one of your social tools, which is a great one, you're going to say, all right, this month I'm throwing a party, next month you're throwing a party, next month you're throwing a party, and you guys got one or two weekends a month where, someone in your tight social circle is throwing a house party. And then, women start showing up to these parties, and it's either your party or you're part of the inner circle there. So you're one of the highest status people there. And if women show up to more than one of the parties, they really get ingrained in that way of thinking because they start to see the same circle of high status guys at each place, and they see different guys' houses, And that really kind of draws them in. So, absolutely.
Oh, God. Speaking of this is really funny. Obviously, I'm friends with David Wygant. We talked about that. And the other day, and this is talking about just social and networking in general, which I think a lot of guys are really missing out on. But, he obviously writes for Yahoo, and some girl from Charlotte wrote him about something and actually sent a picture in. And I've never, like I say, girlfriend, all that jazz. I'm not interested in anything. But, he writes me, and he goes, hey, man, you want to date this girl? She looks kind of cute. And he sends it over to me, which is funny. So that's the other thing about meeting really cool people, whether it be men or women, is that they're going to introduce you to people that are cool, period.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you don't have to. I think that a lot of people like going out to bars and clubs and stuff like that to meet chicks, and I think it's a lot of work.
It is. And not only that, it costs money. It's inconvenient. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love lounge bars. I mean, there's a place here in Washington, D.C. It's probably my favorite venue in the entire city. And I'm there once or twice a month, sometimes more often than that. I just really, really like it. And there's a few other places I like, too. But there's just one in particular. The vibe there is just so nice. I like the music. I mean, it's great. I go there because I like the venue. And there happens to be cool people there and hot women there, So, I mean, I wouldn't have gone in the first place had I not thought that had been around there. But I actually came to enjoy the venue for its own sake. So for me, when I go there, I'm comfortable. It's like a second home for me. It's like my going out home. I know the place. I'm familiar with it. I know a bunch of the staff. Like, I like it. But I don't feel the need to, crawl between all the bars in the area where I live, on some hunt. It's not necessary. And frankly, I think Dave Wygant's a great guy. I've had a chance to hang out with him some. We both spoke on stage together in 07 at this PUA summit in L.A. and had a chance to catch up in D.C. when he was here speaking. I think it was at Georgetown or something like that, and grab lunch and stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's a great guy. And one of the things that that I think he and I powerfully agree on is that meeting women in the daytime is the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
Period. And, when you go out to bars and clubs, there's a lot of alcohol. There's all the other stuff going on. Like, you can meet people that way, but the quality of the interaction is not as high. And it's not the romantic moment that women are looking for. They want to meet someone in the grocery store, on the metro or subway, whatever you got in your city, or, maybe out at a outdoor mall or in an indoor mall or at the bookstore or the coffee shop. I mean, that's the guy they're going to be excited about telling their girlfriends about.
Right.
That's the guy that they're going to have a story to tell about and hope it goes well. Like I said, every woman lives in a fairy tale.
Sure.
So they want to be able to tell the fairy tale story about their own love story. And it never begins with, so we met at the bar.
Yeah.
That just doesn't fit.
Very rarely.
Yeah, you know what? I take it back. You're right. Very rarely. There are exceptions.
I'll just say that the girl I'm dating now, I mean, we've been dating about a year, and we met at the bar at closing. It was very, very different. I can tell you that